Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. So earlier this week, we received a note from the Green Village Initiative about a new seed money campaign to support the rebuilding of two Bridgeport area community gardens. So on this post-Thanksgiving weekend, we're replaying a program we taped earlier this fall at Reservoir Community Farm in Bridgeport during the Green Village Initiative's Harvest Fest to remind you about this important cause. We'll introduce you to staff, organizers, activists, researchers, food equity advocates, and even a neighborhood farmer, and get a very inspiring crash course on why initiatives like GVI and the many community gardens they manage across the Park City are so critical to the physical and economic health of Bridgeport residents. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. A grandmother reaching for prescription pills from her medicine cabinet is not the image that most people would associate with drug addiction. Although the National Institute on Drug Abuse reports that young adults misuse prescription and illicit drugs more frequently than older generations, painkiller abuse has soared among those over 65. In fact, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services found that of the 40 million Americans who enrolled in Medicare Part D in 2016, one-third were prescribed opioids and many were prescribed more than the recommended dosage. If you know or love a senior in the grips of an opioid addiction, consider Mountainside, a national recognized facility for drug and alcohol addiction treatment programs close to home right here in Connecticut. Learn more by visiting Mountainside.com.
Rich, like I wish I was.
All right. The reason we are here today is standing next to me, Christina Sandolo, here at Reservoir Community Farm. We met Christina and continue to hear your voice on my car stereo when I'm listening through my FarmAid bootleg, and then your video comes up, so it keeps reminding me to come to this Harvest Fest, sort of the end of a chapter here for the farm for this year, right?
Sure, yes, exactly. This is our fifth annual Harvest Fest, and throughout the season, we grow about 4,000 pounds of food for the community here at Reservoir Community Farm. We have about 400 volunteers who help us here and at our other sites across Bridgeport.
A dozen sites.
Yeah, we manage 12 community garden sites across Bridgeport where folks can grow food for their homes. We use one of those sites for our urban farmer training program. So you'll see the 2019 urban farmer training cohort here selling their produce at Reservoir Community Farm and a few other Bridgeport vendors. We're really using this site to be an incubator farmers market for Bridgeport-based food businesses. So we've got farmers and prepared food folks. We also use Reservoir Community Farm to support the teachers who are using their school gardens in Bridgeport. So we'll do field trips here so that teachers can come with their classes and learn how to take care of their garden, and they'll be getting involved really literally with their hands in the soil so they can bring those techniques back to their school garden. So this is really sort of our hub. It's our educational farm. And so Harvest Fest is about celebrating the end of our season with our community of gardeners and farm stand shoppers and volunteers who have helped us throughout the year just to kind of get together and break bread and learn, and so that folks can also learn a little bit more about our mission while they're here as well and meet our team.
So did GVI go from was there a proportional growth up to those number of gardens that you managed, or was it more exponential? Like one year it was one, the next year it was 10, then 12?
So the history is that, so GVI was founded in 2008, and we began working here in Bridgeport in 2011 through the amazing passion and energy of our all-volunteer board at the time, who built 23 school gardens in Bridgeport. And got those up and running. And then the organization launched Reservoir Community Farm in 2012, so broke ground on this site and built our beds and built beds for community gardens here on site as well. And then in 2014, we merged with an organization that had been managing community gardens. Oh. So we adopted the 12 gardens under our management.
Strategic acquisition.
Yeah. Well, I don't. It just was a mutually beneficial merger, which was great. And then kind of organically grew a youth program, which is now a very structured youth leadership program. Yeah. We have a summer farm crew, youth farm crew component of it, and now a new youth food justice fellowship that we run in partnership with CT Core Organize Now.
Oh, that's great. So where do you go from here? You're always thinking ahead.
Sure.
Is there a growth plan for 2020?
Of course, yeah. So actually, one of the things that is adding to today's excitement is that we just wrapped up year one of a four-year federal grant that we received from the USDA. It's a community food projects grant. We're one of 24 recipients across the country. We are incredibly proud to be a recipient of that grant. So we're enabled us to create this multi-vendors farmers market. Mm-hmm. And so that four-year project is really focusing us on building out and strengthening our partnerships with Bridgeport Farmers Market Collaborative, who are dedicating their time and energy into creating more inclusivity and equity at farmers markets. So, for example, they created a vendor guide this year. They're doing multilingual outreach. CT Core is a partner. CT Core Organize Now is also a partner on that project, which allowed us to launch that youth program. And they're also training GVI, our team and staff, on their food justice framework. Mm. Sacred Heart University is a partner. They're our evaluation partner as well. Mm-hmm. So as we look to the next 3 years, it's really working with our partners to advance towards our mission to ensure that we are focusing our resources on supporting economic development through the food system. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got in the last question, I want to let you go, but you and I met at Farm Aid.
Mm-hmm.
In that short period of time since Farm Aid, did you either take anything, whether it was connections, knowledge, something you saw from that event, and made it a part of what you're doing?
We got the ability to meet amazing individuals. What an honor to be on that stage with folks at Ceccarelli Farm, folks, you know, Nishan from Wholesome Wave, who personally is a mentor to me, so I'm always learning from him as well, and the other farmers that we shared the stage with, along with the incredible and talented founders of Farm Aid.
Dave, John, Willie, and Neil.
Just those guys. I think we made, we made good connections. I think it really underscores the need to and the potential to put urban farming on the map. And I think, that's what we're about, is making sure that folks realize that you can grow food and you can have a farm and you can grow food for your families in urban areas, and that food can be a driver of economic development in our cities. And so that's what we're focused on.
Christina Sandolo here at the Reservoir Community Farm, one of the multiple initiatives of the Green Village Initiative. So excited to hear about the grant, and it means I'll be coming back to hear more from you guys. Thanks for having us today.
Thank you so much. It's so great to have you. Thanks.
So last but not least, here in our cavalcade of incredible agricultural supporters here in the urban community of Bridgeport is Leslie Albello. She is executive director of the Bridgeport Farmers Market Collaborative, which really is kind of a hand-in-glove thing with GVI, right?
Yeah, GVI is actually one of our bigger partners. Everything that we pretty much do, we piggyback off of them. They piggyback off of us. It's just been a great partnership over the years.
So, but the Bridgeport Farmers Market Collaborative, and maybe not by that name, but by that initiative, has been pretty strong now. I remember going to farmers markets at the health department like 5-6 years ago.
Yep, so that's our East Side farm stand, which still stands. Yeah. That one is actually run by the health department. But the Farmers Market Collaborative has been around for a little over a decade now. And we've established new markets, had new market managers come through, and you know, just been a part of the community for some time now. We're just hoping to grow and grow as we go.
And talking with Christina Sandolo and some of the other people, one of the really inspiring things about what people like you are doing is not only growing the interest in consuming, but enhancing the interest in growing themselves. A lot of people have made that jump from just putting down their money and going home with the fresh neighborhood-grown fruits and vegetables to actually walking through the neighborhood to the local community garden.
Yeah, so GVI, they pretty much spread out the word and spread those community gardens everywhere they can. They even go to the schools as well in Bridgeport and, you know, create these school gardens and, you know, recruit garden captains that can take care of these gardens and spread the word. You know, if you want a garden in your community, just reach out to GVI and they, you know, make things happen. Yeah.
So, well, tell me about the collaborative. What do, we're 10 years now on, what's going on with your group?
Well, the Bridgeport Farmers Market Collaborative, like you said, has been going a little on for 10 years now. We basically oversee all of the 8 markets that we have this season, anywhere from routine support to marketing and, you know, just spreading the word that Bridgeport has 8 farmers markets and 8, you know, farm stands and markets that are local, that are in your neighborhood, in your community, that people can just get involved with and, you know, support.
And in terms of potential growth, is it a matter of just finding sites? I mean, do you guys draw your assistance from staff, from volunteers? How do you, create the human resources to maintain the work that you're doing?
So, right now we only have pretty much 2 paid staff. Everyone else is pretty much volunteers. Uh-huh. Each market or farm stand has its own market manager. And myself, as well as Liz, which is our SNAP coordinator, are the 2 paid staff. But everyone else, as far as the steering committee and any members, are pretty much volunteers and market managers, which are great. The collaborative.
Well, where do you take it from here? It's sort of the end of the season as we stand here today. It's the last farmers market here at GVI's facility. Where does the collaborative go from here? Are you looking at other additional sites to spread farmers markets beyond the 8 you already do?
Well, from last season, which we had 6, and this season, which we have 8, we're just trying to grow our 8 right now, make them strong, make them accessible, have our communities be aware that there's a market in their neighborhood.
Well, you grew 25% in a year. That's pretty good.
Yeah, which is great. So we're focusing on our 8, making them strong. The collaborative now will partner up and, you know, do all type of tabling events, get involved with clinics and schools, just to raise awareness of what we do and why we do it.
Do you guys have a website, social network presence for people to learn more if they're hearing it about this in town or from the area?
Yeah, we definitely do. We're pretty big on our Facebook and our Instagram. We also have our website up, which is actually going through quite a revamp pretty soon. And then we'll also be sending out a newsletter over the winter season so we don't go silent.
Good. So people could just sign up by web searching you guys?
Yes, they can go on the website or also on our Facebook and sign up for our newsletter.
And what's the website?
BridgeportFarmersMarket.org.
Excellent. Leslie Albello is Executive Director of the Bridgeport Farmers Market Collaborative. They are here today at this 5th annual Harvest Festival for the Green Village Initiative. It's great to meet you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having us and thanks for joining us.
All right, continuing here through the 5th annual Harvest Festival here at the Green Village Initiative in Bridgeport, catching up with Melissa Kwan and Jonathan Delgado. They're with Fairfield University, and they've been working, as Christina tells me, in helping evaluate the impact of community gardens, of which there's an amazing amount here in Bridgeport, right?
There are. I think there are. How many gardens, Jonathan?
Upwards of 25 in Bridgeport. Oh, wow. And GVI is officially involved in between 11 and 13.
Okay. And have you guys like kind of been out doing visual at each of these, or how does tell me about the background on the project and what made you look at this resource as the place to go to get your data?
We've been focusing on the community gardens, and the partnership between GVI and Fairfield University started about 4 years ago with one of our service learning courses. Through service learning, we connect the academic work that students are doing, so what they're learning in the classroom, with work in the community. So we had an environmental justice course, and we paired them up with GVI just to do some basic. GVI was interested in understanding the impact of the gardens on the community, but they weren't sure where to start. And so that initial class kind of looked at what are the things that they could measure. And then we picked it up again about a year and a half ago, and we went much more depth, and that's where Jonathan's work kicks in.
Okay. It's kind of hard to imagine it couldn't have a positive difference, that it didn't move the meter a little bit, but I have kind of a feeling, based on knowing a little of the history of this, that they are really making a huge difference, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, and I think one of the things is, when we talk about community gardens, a lot of it is qualitative, right? It's storytelling and anecdotes. And what we were really hoping to get at was the hard numbers on how community gardening affects the community gardeners themselves, as far as money saved, harvesting, and how much time are they spending on their plots. And that's what this project was focused on.
Yeah, when you think of community gardens, it's exactly what you said. You think of all these multiple points, distance of fossil fuel burning between the house and the garden versus the house and the store versus Chile and the store for the nice orange peppers that may come up from there, right?
Yep. And so here we had an opportunity to kind of quantify those things.
What were the high points that you were looking at?
A lot of it came down to money saved and kind of labor hours in going into the garden and what that looked like on an individual basis.
So you actually looked at the investment of the members and how much time they spent putting into it, as well as what they were getting out of it?
Exactly. So we had to look at it both ways. And it was everything from garden cleanup to watering and tending and all that, and then looking at what that harvest looks like. The produce that was being pulled at the end, as far as weight, type, and various vegetables that each individual gardener were looking at.
And how did you engage the students in the actual hands-on? Was it part of like a weekly class assignment? Was it in a flex situation? How do you like kind of herd those individuals into common practices or data gathering to achieve the kind of goal in the numbers that Jonathan was hoping to crunch?
Yeah, it's a real mixed approach. I mean, we recognize that we run on a different calendar sometimes. You know, we have an academic calendar, but the rest of the world runs on a yearly calendar.
Yeah.
So during the semester when we have the course, they do some initial work. So in the environmental justice course, they, you know, looked at the data that GVI was already collecting, and if whether or not that could answer the questions that they had, and if not, what new data they would have to collect. And then in the, you know, in between the semesters, we would hire students to serve as researchers. So we had one student who worked for probably two full summers, and then throughout the academic year on the project. So that's how we kind of fill in those gaps, and they're able to go in more depth.
Excellent. So is the initial project sort of, or the initial chapter maybe, closed, and you have deliverable outcomes and data that you presented?
Yeah, I think the first year was really focused on building a pilot and how we wanted to do it. And this year, we have a much better sense of how we're going to continue to engage the gardeners and look at these quantifiable things. So at the end of this season, I'll feel a lot more comfortable with the data that we have, and we'll have a better idea how we want to analyze it and use it going forward.
Were there any anecdotal points that you were able to tease out of the preliminary information that began to validate the concept that these gardens are making a positive difference? Was there anything macro that was kind of leaning toward the side of, yeah, I think we're right, now we just need a full another season to get the solid numbers to create that pattern of comparison?
Yeah, we had exit interviews that we did with a lot of the gardeners, and I think one of the coolest things was realizing kind of the history of gardening in Bridgeport, Not only that, but how gardening has affected and been a part of a lot of these gardeners' lives for decades, even. So we know that it's there, and we just want to be able to have the numbers to support it.
Yeah. So how does this continue on after you guys are kicked out of the Fairfield University nest?
Well, hopefully we won't be kicked
or
out.
Do you envision this as an open-ended and continuous project going on, even potentially beyond your immediate attachment to it?
Yeah, that's the hope. We've had this relationship with GVI for about 4 years, and we want it to continue, and we meet regularly. There's no real kind of end date on this. We're always evolving and trying to understand what new questions do we have and how can we help this evolve. So, for example, while we are focusing on the hard numbers, we are also interested in that qualitative piece, and so we're looking at creating a cookbook, for example, out of the gardens that the farmers would really have a stake in and be able to showcase how what they bring from their own kind of diverse cultural background to Bridgeport urban farming.
What's the ETA on that?
That is next year, right? Yeah. We're looking at next spring or fall for that.
We're going to continue to gather recipes and, again, pilot that, see what that's going to look like, and then find ways that we can make this something that's sustainable and long-term, because we want to make sure that gardening across Bridgeport is connected. I think a lot of the times we see these community gardens operate in silos, and if we can do anything with this project, it's really connect the gardens, connect the gardeners, yeah. And continue to show that Bridgeport has a thriving urban agriculture.
Yeah, it's so funny. When I was coming in here with a friend to like look at the place, we brought up kohlrabi for some reason, and it's just so cool to think that somebody who doesn't know what that is could walk up to a booth at a community garden or here at this event in Bridgeport and ask the farmer, what is that? And he says, kohlrabi. And they're like, oh, really? What do you do with that? And he pulls out a book, and he's like, well, you could do it like this or like this or like this. Here's three recipes you could cook for dinner, lunch, and dinner tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I think Bridgeport's one of those cities where friendliness is part of it, right? Like, we have a lot of willingness to show and to teach. And we just want to continue to capitalize on that.
Yeah. From we'll wrap it up, but from a finished chapter perspective, I keep going back to that, but what is the minimum amount of time in terms of growing seasons that you'd feel comfortable with to have a solid enough pattern of information so that you could really make a relevant report that is not only important from the inside out, but that the outside in people get too?
Well, I think this season we really were able to start shortly after the growing season started, and we're going to be able to follow through all the way to late October, early November, when everyone stops.
Yeah. You know? And how many years, 2 years, 3 years, and then you're like, yeah, we really have enough solid data here to be able to say this is making a difference or affirming our suspicions of all the positives.
I think that's still up in the air. We'll continue to see what the data looks like and then see where we feel comfortable kind of like, you know, closing that chapter and being able to say that definitively. Yeah. But, you know, as a long-term thing, we intend that this program will continue to exist with or without our involvement so that we can continue to quantify these things and see the trends throughout the city.
Wow, fantastic.
And hopefully looking to see, if our methodology is applicable to other communities as well. So we want to begin to kind of share it out see if it's replicable.
Great. Excellent. Fantastic information here from Melissa Kwan and Jonathan Delgado. They're here with Fairfield University as you're hearing, evaluating the impact of community gardens across Bridgeport throughout the network here. The Green Village Initiative's 5th Annual Harvest Festival is going on. We're here hanging out and meeting fascinating folks and getting great information like Melissa and Jonathan. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Christina Hennessy was reminding me that today is the last farm market here. So the end of what, an entire season of seeing how this kind of thing just works so well.
Yes, we've learned how to plant from seed mostly. That started back in April. We started harvesting back in, I'd say, June, early summer. And we've been here, I'd say, for at least several months selling every Saturday. Great group of people, very community-based. It's really been a lovely experience.
And so what were some of the earliest items that came out of the garden that you were able to sell, like, in the earliest part of the season versus what we're seeing here today?
I got to tell you, actually, we had a surprise product. The onions that we made have been with us since April.
Wow.
They've been a very popular hit. They keep growing. They're kind of miracle little plants. And they've been with us the whole time. Lettuce and greens were earlier. Now what we're seeing is the tomatoes, the spinach came back for the fall. And we've got we got a lot of stuff, arugulas, lettuce. It's been an interesting season.
Great. Were you a lifelong gardener coming into this class, or your crazy path in life find you here?
Well, I love gardening, but I've never really had a house I can garden in. I rent. It's hard to find the property.
Uh-huh.
But I started volunteering at GBI about 3 years ago. I kept in touch with the group.
Yeah.
Really love their mission. About bringing food to inner cities, urban areas, and bringing people together around it. It's like, to me, that's the best part about it. Like, really growing, growing everything. Neighborhoods, growing food. So when this came through that this was an opportunity to do it, I jumped at it. I really thought it would be something that would further my life, just to know how to grow food and really become involved very much more deeply with the city.
So did you pass through GVI to UConn?
Somewhat. I'd say UConn class came through the volunteer work I did with GBI.
Oh, wow. So you brought up a great point about growing so much more than just food and the community building aspect of it. In the time that you've been here, can you talk a little bit about what you've seen in terms of the creep of neighborhood pride? I mean, does having something like this in the neighborhood sort of make everybody around it step it up a little bit in terms of, just how they feel about each other? Are you seeing that?
Yes, when I used to volunteer, and even in, we have a site that's not this site. It's down in Bridgeport, Arctic Ave. The neighborhood seems to welcome you when you come and you go to work and you wave and you say hi, and it becomes this little green spot, this little green patch.
Yeah.
And they see that you're working hard, I think, in trying to improve what it looks like. Really, I have to say, it's a community that if you don't have the vegetables, you say, go to the other place. They have them. It brings people together that probably would never be together except for this program.
And also, obviously, from the signs, it brings people who might normally go into a grocery store and, as I said in another segment, maybe buy that nice orange pepper that expended so much fossil fuel to get there from, like, Chile or something, versus crossing the street to get that same gorgeous orange pepper that was on the vine this morning. That's a really kind of important aspect when you look at it from that micro level, and then try to exponentially look at the effect of the local garden. When you just look at travel distance and freshness, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think you touch on a very good point. What we actually are learning in the classroom is that, 10 years out, 15 years out, there's going to be a real food shortage as, like, the big plots of farms start to shrink.
Hmm.
So you're going to need areas and people in urban areas that know how to garden in urban areas, because that's how the people who live there are going to get their food.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right in terms of that there's still going to be grocery stores, but there's going to need to be a band of people who will be able to look at a lot in town or city and say, can we grow here for this neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
This is what this class is about.
So do you live in Bridgeport or in the area?
I did live in Bridgeport for a very long time. Now I'm living in Fairfield.
Oh, okay. So you're still
still
neighborhood garden.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. Good.
Yeah.
So today, as you indicated, is the last day of the market for you in this phase of what you're doing. Where do you go from here here, and Mario Pena, who's here with you today. What's next? You just go back to kind of book learning?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't know what's going to come next. This class ends, and I'm going to try to get myself involved in as many volunteer opportunities as possible. I think I need a little bit more education, perhaps for a career path. But basically, what I learned in this class would allow me to start a garden tomorrow here in Irvine. And I must mention, that's what he's actually doing. So he might be a good person to talk to. He's ready to jump off and do this on his own for the next year. So, yeah, Mario.
Aspirations to maybe transition to the Master Gardeners training?
Perhaps. Yeah, it's all out there. There's programs around the country. You can get involved in 6 months, 7 months here that really give you a grounding and a basis to become a present-day farmer.
Excellent. Great. Well, we'll see if I can wrangle Mario here and pull
really
his step off. Great. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah,
your name
thank
was?
You, John.
John.
Yeah.
Oh, nice to meet you. Thank you so much. Good.
Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click onto Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm John Voquette, your public affairs director here at Connoisseur Media. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. We want to take an opportunity to remind you that the Connecticut Office of Health Strategy recently launched HealthScore CT, a cost estimator and consumer tool that allows users to compare the cost of medical care at Connecticut hospitals and provider networks. The interactive website allows consumers and providers to search, sort, and filter by location, health measure, provider, network, quality rating, and cost. The HealthScore Connecticut Cost Estimator pulls information from the state's all-payer claims database and allows users to compare the cost of specific procedures offered by medical providers throughout the state to help better plan your financial management of those procedures. You can test drive the site right now. Just go to healthscorect.com.
Yeah, good. Mario Pena is here, as we said in the prior segment with Christina Hennessy. Talking to him because Christina says, you got to talk to Mario. He's very passionate because he's ready to jump off and do all this, for neighborhoods on his own. Is that about right?
Yes, sir. John. Right? Yeah. Yes, definitely want to expand the knowledge that we've had. We took the class, and it was really put into really on-the-job training situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And we realized over time that we were, like, not just students. We were really participating in the urban agricultural movement that was going on in Bridgeport. It was very...
Did you garden before?
No, actually. I've always had passion about growing my own food. I've been, vegetarian for 19 years, but the connection never hit, because that happens over time, until...
So you were a store-bought vegan up until you did this course.
Yes.
Wow,
yes,
that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's been amazing because my partner, which is Khadija Mohammed, we worked together. She actually got the information about the class.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, let me give it a shot.
Sure.
And it turned into a whole different career change.
Yeah.
And a whole social awareness and building community and the need for high-dense nutritious food.
Yeah.
And to continue this going on by trying to expand and getting more city lots or more land to provide more food for people. We had a wonderful embracing experience at Downtown Farmers Market Collaborative, the collaborative, and also GVI has been very, very embracive about partnering up with the UConn Extension Urban Agriculture Class to provide us the plot with 24 raised beds to learn the cultivation of urban agriculture.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been a mind-blowing, life-changing experience.
So what's your next step?
Oh, our next step is to keep growing food that we, me and my partner have a quarter acre here in, that we work on next to Barnum School.
Oh, okay.
And we plan to expand the operation by building more beds, providing more food, and looking for other plots in the future.
And is the school community involved in that?
Yes, the school community is involved. The Barnum School has a garden club, and we're working right next to each other. Yep, so they have a couple of plots in the quarter acre, and we have. So we're working symbiotically together to help out and, be on one cohesive team of pushing high-dense, nutritious food to the community.
And is what you did professionally prior to this new chapter of yours, is that going to dovetail into your eventual long-term long-term goals of applying your new knowledge about the community garden importance?
Yeah, I think for my from the importance of is because I'm I was a cook in the Air Force for many years.
So
I was a cook in the Air Force. I was in culinary arts for about 15 years in the food industry.
Ship? Huh? Or at a base?
On bases, different bases here in the United States.
High volume.
High volume food. I would serve about 3,000 officers and military personnel. So always the need to have a good product to make good cuisine dishes. So eventually that turned into something together where I love to cook, but you can't find the produce and you want to eat or grow in season and you also want to help out your local economy. So we see the lack of fresh fruits and vegetables in low-income, financial-income status neighborhoods. So we're trying to bring that up to speed with everybody else so everyone could participate.
Yeah, this is the anti-MRE, right?
Yes.
Great. Well, great to meet you.
Well,
Mario
Pena,
here at the Green Village Initiative and the Yukon Co-op, an urban farmer training initiative. Great to meet you, Mario.
Thank you.
So I first saw this young lady sitting with John Mellencamp and Dave Matthews and Willie Nelson, Neil Young, and a number of other people on the stage at Farm Aid when it was here in Hartford. And it's so great to catch up with Alexis Martin again here at the Green Village Initiative's Harvest Fest. So Alexis, first of all, this is like so exciting because you almost never get to see people again after you interview them from a distance. But what did Farm Aid and being there that day and having that complete immersion into that whole agricultural world, how did that touch you or make a difference in anything you've done since then with GVI?
Well, hello. It's nice to see you again. And as you can see, there's many people here. We usually get, I'm going to say, 300 to around 400 people a year at our Harvest Fest.
Yep.
And it impacts me because I just want to make food better for these people. I want to make sure everyone has access to fresh food if they want it. And Farm Aid, it showed me that, even these big names, it's important to them. So it's important to us. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we can all work towards, food justice, eliminate food deserts, and just make sure everyone has access to food.
And now, are you still going to school studying something in the activism realm?
Yes. So I go to the University of Bridgeport. I'm a senior, and my major is mass communications, journalism, and public relations, and also minoring in English. And with that, I would like to take it to the agricultural world. And I'm not sure what I would do with it yet. I'm not sure if I would, work with communications for an agricultural program or, maybe writing.
Well, you're doing it right now. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, just getting the word out to everybody.
Yeah. Well, tell me about how GVI has grown since I saw you around a year and a half ago. This isn't the only one in town, is it?
No. So we actually have GVI's broken up into four separate programs. And so we have Reservoir Community Farm, which you're at right now. We have our school gardens in Bridgeport. So we have about over 20 school gardens where we just go and we get the kids into agriculture, start them young and then they'll know better when they're older. We also have our youth program, which is we have about 10 to 12 youth every summer come for 8 weeks and they learn everything about agriculture. So farming, weeding, watering, composting, everything with bees, different types of insects, pests, vegetables, everything there is to do with farming.
Yep. So on a day-to-day basis, are you more engaged with sort of that community engagement piece, or are you hands-on down in the dirt with the kids at the schools and here at the farm?
So I'm a little bit of both. On Saturdays, we have our open volunteer days. So from 10 to 2, I'm usually with my coworker, the assistant farm manager, Richard.
Yeah.
And we have volunteers come, and we're just doing random farm tasks, getting their hands dirty, teaching them more about the farm. And I actually went to a school on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, and it was Apple Day.
Oh.
So we actually had three different apples for kids to test at lunchtime, and we cut those apples, gave it to them. They voted on which apple was their favorite. We gave a little information about each apple, what they're best for, and yeah, just a little bit of everything.
So you're a senior at UB. Will you continue on there with a higher aspirations, or are you going to stick around Bridgeport or head somewhere that's going to really step things up for you?
I'm thinking of studying abroad, actually, when I graduate. I would like to see what agriculture is like in other countries. I have no idea what I would like to do to further my education, but I just know that the options, they're not limited. I can do whatever I set my mind to.
Yeah. Well, through this incredible, diverse community here in Greater Bridgeport, has there been a ethnic type of product or preparation that is intriguing to you?
Well, in the farm, we get many different ethnic groups.
Yeah, yeah.
We get, because Bridgeport is such a diverse place,
yeah,
there's literally no one type.
Right, yeah. Has anything anybody's, anything that you've learned about that is more ethnically predisposed on the part of being, you know, something that they're growing at the garden? Is, have you come to love a an ethnically unique type of a vegetable or fruit?
Yes. So I'm not sure if you've heard of okra.
Oh, yeah.
But my coworker, I've never had okra before. He told me to take a bite out of it.
Yeah.
And I've always heard of people either cooking okra, making it slimy. My manager at my other job, she likes to fry her okra.
Yeah.
And I bit into an okra, and it was delicious. And I buy okra for myself now,
cool.
And I share it with my family at home. They've never had okra.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Jamaican-style Caribbean fruit, and I've never had it before, and I had it, and it was delicious.
Oh, amazing. Well, for folks that are listening who have yet to visit the farm here or the know about the GVI, in closing, what would you like them to know about it when they're listening all around Connecticut?
Everyone is welcome at our farm. What else? We
so
have volunteer
have, like, open,
days.
And, yeah, on Saturdays. Every Saturday there's something going on here for the public, right?
Yes. Every Saturday we have volunteer days, 10 to 2, until November.
Yep.
So we're stopping soon.
Yep.
Getting ready for the winter. We'll start cover cropping. We'll take out all these vegetables and donate them to food pantries.
Mm. Excellent.
And, yeah, just follow us on Instagram. GoGVI.org has all of our upcoming events.
Fantastic.
And yeah.
That does it. Alexis Martin, reacquainting since we last met at Farm Aid in Hartford. She's with the Green Village Initiative, and we are here at their fifth. Is it the fifth?
Yes,
fifth annual Harvest Fest here in Bridgeport. Great to see you, Alexis.
Thank
Congratulations.
You for coming. Yes, thank you.
All right, well, there's about 40 people over here learning how to play ukulele, which is pretty fun. But I kind of have met a Harvest Fest VIP right now, not just somebody who works here, but actually a neighbor who farms here. Karen Bracey is taking a break after, pretty bag full of greens in there, Karen. That's a good-looking pepper. While the EMS... takes care of business. We'll remind people if they want to learn more about the Green Village Initiative, they can go to gogvi.org or check them out on all the wealth of social networks here. We're at the fifth annual Harvest Fest here at the Green Village Initiative and their farm in Bridgeport. So, Karen, have you been part of this community garden since they set it up?
No, I just got my plot 3 years ago, and I've been here since.
And what made you decide, were you gardening at home up to then, or had you gardened at home before?
No, I hadn't gardened. I am the president of the Residents Association in Trumbull Gardens.
Okay.
And I felt I needed to be here to let the residents know that they can come, get a plot, or just to buy vegetables every Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. How many today, as we talked to you in 2019, how many of your residents also have plots here?
I want to say there's four residents from Trumbull Gardens that have a plot up here.
Oh, that's great. So when you started, what did you did you have the idea that you wanted to make certain kinds of vegetables that you like and then work to learn how to do it? Or what was the starting period like for you?
That's exactly it. I just planted stuff that I liked, the basics, tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, and lettuce the first year. The second year, I got a little creative. I did some zucchini. Yep. And this year, I did okra.
Oh,
so
wow.
I try to put something different every year. Next year, I don't know what I'm going to put, but it's going to be something different.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned okra because we were interviewing someone else about that. And in the context of how culturally diverse your neighbor gardeners are and how you get in a place like this, when you're at the grocery store and you're at the tomato bin, and somebody is 10 feet away from you looking at, like, you know, like ethnic ginger root, you're not necessarily going to get into a conversation with them.
Right.
But if you're here and
yes.
two plots over,
yes.
you see folks that may not be from the same place you are,
yes.
that are growing something that looks kind of interesting, yeah. you chat them up, right?
Yes. I've met a lot of nice people, my neighbors, my neighbor Stella,
yeah.
a lot of nice people, and we shared because I can't eat everything that I grow. So I tell them, help yourself. If
yeah.
you see it, it's falling off, please take it.
Yeah.
There's no need for me to grow it and then for it to go to waste.
Yeah.
I give a lot to some of the seniors and where I live at in Trumbull Gardens. And it's more fun and more, it helps me to do some exercise.
Yeah.
The bending, the pulling.
It is a very good exercise.
It is. Yeah. It is. So that's why I do it. I just, and I love it. I truly do love it.
Better than a treadmill.
You better believe it.
The tomatoes at the end.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So getting back to that, have you had the opportunity of that type of offer from your neighbor gardeners where you've experimented with or tried vegetables or fruits that you never had before?
Yes. James Smith gave me Swiss chard.
Oh.
I'm not a Swiss chard person. It was okay,
yeah.
but I won't go out to buy it. But if it's offered to me, yes, I'll use it.
Oh, good.
So, you learn a lot of things. Richard showed us a lot of things to put down now for the winter, the vetch and the other stuff to keep the soil moist and whatever. So you learn a lot. You really do. If you want to learn about it, you'll learn. Because
yeah.
there's a Green Village Initiative, Ellie, Richard, all of them. Christina, they're here to help us.
Yeah. From your perspective, now having done it, having brought other people to it, and obviously having met dozens, if not hundreds, of other people that are doing it, what would you say to anybody listening anywhere that would be like, oh, I can't really have a garden in my condo or even in my little yard, but there's one down the street around the corner? Is it an easy leap to go from not gardening to gardening in a community garden?
I would encourage anybody, if you're interested in growing your own vegetables, look up Green Village Initiative. Go to the city of Bridgeport, because there are community gardens in each part of the city. I'm not sure if Green Village Initiative is a part of each one,
mm.
but there is a community garden in each part of town, and it is easy to start up. Very easy, and it's worth your while. It really is.
Yeah, and probably a lot in towns and cities across our entire Connecticut.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Excellent. Well, it was fantastic to meet you. Karen Bracey is a gardener here at the Community Garden for Green Village Initiative, and she's exercising and will later enjoy what she exercised for down here in this beautiful green bag full of vegetables here at the 5th Annual Harvest Fest for GVI. Thank you so much. Great
Thank
to meet you.
Same here. Thank you so much.
Well, after we departed the Reservoir Community Farm, I thought it was important to spend the last few minutes of the program touching base with Michelle McCabe. You've heard her before. She's the director of the Center for Food Equity and Economic Development for the Council of Churches of Greater Bridgeport. So I sort of wanted to hear from your perspective why this expansion and hopefully the continued expansion and management of even more neighborhood-based community gardens is so important to those communities and to kind of the larger mission that you're trying to address through the center.
Absolutely. Well, first, thank you so much for having me, and especially for the opportunity to talk about a very important community partner, which is Green Village Initiative, in the work of increasing food access in Bridgeport. I think the work that they're doing is part of that larger mission of looking at ways of ensuring people having sovereignty over their own food supply. Many communities that are economically disadvantaged, some of that inequity is manifested in their ability, to put it very simply, to feed themselves and their families the kinds of foods that they want to and the kinds of foods that they know are important in order for them to maintain health. And so there are a lot of reasons why accessing that food can be challenging. And so organizations like GBI and the Council of Churches are looking to contribute to ensuring that food sovereignty in communities like Bridgeport. And so with GBI, what's wonderful about what they're doing is that they really started the absolute fundamentals, which is teaching people how to grow their own food if they don't know how, and providing them and others that maybe have experience growing, a place where they can in fact grow their food in an urban environment. And so at the most basic level, that's part of what organization does, but they also are training people who want to take it a step further and actually find a source of income or a career in growing food.
In the last couple minutes, Michelle, could you also speak to the important difference that these gardens and the neighborhood members' participation in them is from an economic perspective? Because a wiser person than me once said, you can't really judge how much difference the price of a cup of coffee can make in the life of someone who needs that money the most.
That's absolutely correct. So economically, a community garden helps a family offset the cost of procuring their own food. And it does so in a way that allows them to integrate the healthiest possible food items into their diets in the least expensive way. So growing produce is so important to maintaining good health, and for them to be able to grow it themselves and take what sometimes can be a very expensive item out of their required budget is very helpful towards enhancing a family's financial stability. But also there's an opportunity to be able to potentially sell that product or to take the product they grow and make something out of it and sell it. So there's another level of economic opportunity that for an entrepreneurial minded grower, it can actually bring in additional money into a family's household budget by the sheer act of growing it themselves.
Fantastic. Thank you for that perspective. Michelle McCabe has been a guest on For the People and is now becoming kind of a go-to resource. She is the director of the Center for Food Equity and Economic Development for the Council of Churches of Greater Bridgeport. Michelle, thanks for your time and helping us wrap up the show with that frontline perspective.
My pleasure. Anytime.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.
At Old Navy, the big deals don't stop just because Black Friday does. This weekend, get a huge 50% off all sweaters and 50% off all jeans in stores and online Saturday and Sunday. That's right, all sweaters and all jeans are 50% off all weekend long. The must-get gifts at the top of your holiday list are on super sale. Slay the holidays this weekend with 50% off all sweaters and jeans at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 11:30 to 12:1, in stores only 12:1. Excludes in-store clearance, active and licensed.